Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And you've read about them. You know who they are. I mean, we were second in recruiting last year. A&M was first. A&M bought every player on their team, made a deal for name, image, and likeness. All right, we didn't buy one player. All right, but I don't know if we're going to be able to sustain that in the future because more and more people are doing it.
There's Nick Saban.
Losing his mind.
Taking open shots, safety off on Jimbo Fisher. And then he tried to call up Jimbo Fisher and smooth things over, and Jimbo Fisher was not having it. He also mentioned Deion Sanders in this whole thing. And Deion Sanders, Deion Sanders said, he made those comments publicly. We will address all this publicly. Ain't going to happen.
No one will even take his phone calls right now. He tried to apologize, I guess, to Jimbo, and they asked Jimbo Fisher, like, hey, did he try to call? He's like, yep.
instant
delete.
Deion even said, he goes, I haven't talked to Coach Saban. I'm sure he tried to call, but we're talking publicly, not privately. You, what you said was public. It doesn't require a conversation. We'll talk publicly. He said publicly 500 times
Deion
in this interview.
Deion is the perfect coach for the Wild West of college football to come, which is probably going to get clamped down here sooner than later. I have a theory about that because Jimbo Fisher, now we were doing the podcast yesterday, which you could hear, 92.3thefan.com, brought to you by Extend Technologies, and you can listen to it live Tuesdays and Thursdays right after the show, coming up at like 10:15 a.m. Tuesdays and Thursdays after the show on 92.3 The Fan Extra. We actually had a conversation about Nick Saban and when Nick Saban's going to retire, which Anthony and Owen dumped all over the thing. Stop. Anthony and Owen dumped all over the thing because I said that this is going to be Nick Saban's last year. He goes, oh, he's 70, huh? What are you going to tell me now? What are you going to say now? Is Abe Vigoda dead? Is that what you're going to say? Like, okay, thanks a lot.
You didn't say anything about Norm.
But I thought.
You tell us when the Queen is retiring.
But you thought. Well, they keep having jubilees in her honor, not anytime soon. Would you retire if they're just going to have a birthday party for you every 2 weeks?
Must be nice.
Anywho, what the hell was I saying? Oh, yeah. So we're talking about Nick Saban, and then we saw that Jimbo Fisher is going to have a press conference at 11. And we went, well, we got to be done by 11 because we got to see Jimbo Fisher. And Jimbo Fisher just let loose on Nick Saban yesterday.
It's despicable that a reputable head coach could come out and say this when he doesn't get his way or things don't go his way. The narcissist in him doesn't allow those things to happen, and it's ridiculous. But when he's not on top, and the parody in college football he's been talking about, go talk to coaches who coach for him. You'll find out all the parody. Go dig into wherever he's been. You can find out anything. Some people think they're God. Go dig into how God did his deal. You may find out about a guy that a lot of things you don't want to know. We built him up to be the czar of football. Go dig into his past or anybody that's ever coached with him. You can find out anything you want to find out, what he does and how he does it. And it's despicable. It really is. And it's a shame we have to sit up here and have this conversation about things we do. And it's personal to us. Yes, it is. It's personal to A&M. It's personal to our players. It's personal to our coaches and everybody involved. And I know the guy. Know him really well. There are no violations. There are nothing wrong. It's the second time we've had to do this with grown men who don't get their way and want to pout, throw a fit, and act up. Just go ask all the people who work for him. You'll know exactly what he's about. I always said this. My dad always told me this. When people show you who they are, believe him. He's showing you who he is. Listen, you coach with people like Bobby Bowden and learn how to do things. You coach with other people and learn how not to do things. There's a reason people don't go, I ain't went back and worked for him with opportunities. Listen, I'm going to tell you one thing. You can call me anything you want to call me. You ain't calling me a cheat. I don't cheat and I don't lie. Because I learned that when I was a kid. If you did, the old man slapped you side of the head. Maybe somebody should have slapped him.
That's Jimbo Fisher.
This is amazing.
Now, I don't want to go too far in the weeds here with explanations. One, I don't know what he's going to do with that beach house that he actually shares with Nick Saban in ownership.
Wait,
people don't
what?
Know that. Yes, they own a beach house together. The second thing is, there's going to be a what? Divorce between coaches. That's actually going down. The other thing that happens here is that Jimbo Fisher has been on the defense this entire offseason. He already went after Lane Kiffin. Now, this Brett McMurphy brought this up yesterday on Afternoon Drive. You can hear that, 92.3thefan.com. Brett McMurphy brought it up yesterday going, he basically called Lane Kiffin a clown earlier this year. So Jimbo Fisher, people, anytime Texas A&M makes ripples in the water, people are paying attention. And they did. And they put out a lot of money, and they got the player. That's fine. I do think, though, that while this is entertaining, and I can't wait to see what goes down on October 8th. And I know everybody's going, Alabama's going to beat the brakes off them. You know, Texas A&M's got good football players. I think that's going to be a tight football
game. Sure.
I totally disagreed with the guys in the afternoon about that. I think that's going to be a tight one and a good one. However, I got to tell you, I think for high school recruits now, I think what this is going to end up doing, I think this is going to end up putting the clamps on them. I think this is going to end up, I don't want to turn it into the NCAA because it's just a weak take that's happened a million times over. But yeah, Greg Sankey admonishing both of them from the SEC. This is going to turn into, we can't allow all this. We can't just go and do pay for play. This thing has gotten way out of hand. Whether or not I agree with that or not, that's inconsequential. I think that that's what this is going to turn into with college football. You've already heard Nick Saban arguing about it. You've already heard Lane Kiffin talking about how he wanted a salary cap, a quote-unquote salary cap, out there for major college football. There is going to be regulations sooner than later because they don't like this. This is ugliness, and what this does is this brings this to the forefront. And Nick Saban, no matter how much we want to call him a bitter old man, and he comes off that way, is a very powerful, bitter old man. They wanted to make him the football czar. Jimbo Fisher made fun of them about that in this press conference. I think this is going to end up affecting the players. I think that they're going to roll some of this back because of stuff like this.
I just don't know how you can go backwards on any of this.
I don't know either, but I think they'll find a way.
The problem isn't just NIL. And when I say problem, is it a problem that kids can finally make money based on, you know, all the money they make for the programs? Like, we finally understand that now, right? I think a lot more people than they used to are like, all right, the scholarship is nice, but for these kids, I mean, they cash is king. Let's go. Where's the money? I mean, you're not giving them scholarship money. You're not giving them other than the gap or whatever they call it, you know, in terms of what, you know, cost of tuition and all that stuff. What I'm saying is, like, I've evolved on this. Like, I was worried about what would happen when the players would get their money, and I think in most cases they'll be fine. I think it's the problem of NIL plus unlimited transfer portal. I think that's, and I know coaches get to leave whenever they want, and it's not a fair system. Well, life's not fair. And I think if they want to make sure that college football still has the attachment with the fans, because the one thing college football had that the NFL didn't was this, at least this delusion from fans that they could have in their mind, this make-believe that, hey, C.J. Stroud is studying for class and he's at the Oval just like me, or he's going to the student union just like I did 30 years ago. Like, there was that thought. Now the players are barely going to class, even more so than now than ever before. They're doing online classes. They don't even know the campus. They're tucked away in a part of campus that nobody even knows. They're at the Woody Hayes Athletic Center 40 hours a week. They don't even go to the same classes went to. Like, that delusion is gone. And now those players that you root for, they're making so much money than you'll make in your entire life. Now there's a switch there. I don't think it's the same. And I wonder if NIL plus transfer portal is going to be the straw that breaks the camel's back in terms of the fans loving college football.
I don't mean to bring up an old elitist card that I like to play with you so often. 216-578-0092. Is all the NIL going to be better or worse for college football and its future? I don't mean to play the elitist card, but when you said the attachment to the fans, you think about it in terms of you went to Ohio State, you're an alum. And you're right. They've built massive wings where the athletes don't even have to go to the different buildings anymore.
You'll never see them.
They don't have to go to class with all the other people before. They just go now and go to class with themselves, and that's it. Maybe there's a few out there, but there are the facilities there that are available to them where they never have to leave the Woody Hayes.
No.
So now you bring up the attachment with the fans. And when you think about it, you think about it as an alum. I think about it as a person who just loves college football. And I think that 98% of people in Ohio, if we're just leaving it to Ohio right now in Ohio State, think about it the same way. The attachment to the fans is what? This is entertainment. We're being honest about the entertainment. And I think the NCAA, because they're the umbrella group where it's really ESPN, but nobody wants to mention that. The NCAA, in their umbrella, is going to look at it and say, if we're all being honest with each other, this is what we like. Where's the entertainment factor here? This sport has less parity than anything. Historically, by the way, has had less parity than anything, right? We need to make this entertaining. We just can't have highest bidder anymore. You know what's going to happen? I think because of the entertainment, if we're going to be honest, there will be salary caps. There will be transfer restrictions. There will be, okay, maybe you can transfer once in the transfer portal and that's it. Or what Kelvin Sampson brought up, where you have to wait a year and then you can transfer, or then you have to wait a year to play after you transfer, to curtail the 1,300 that were in the college basketball transfer portal last year, the 1,400 that were in it this year. Because coaches and fans, I think, don't want to have to keep recruiting their own players year after year. 216-578-0092. Is all this better or worse for college football? Would it hurt your interest in it? Friday 5, 7:45, and maybe Freddie and a lot of other coaches.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Should have thought twice. A lot of reactions coming in. 216-578-0092. Also, Lamy came in with a list of former coaches. And thinking of a guy like Freddie Kitchens specifically, maybe he should have thought twice. That all coming up Friday 5, 7:45. Of course, if we get to that one, I think that's going to be a hot one. I think Friday 5 might get blown out there. But 8:20, we got to get to that Bahamas trip. Because I thought it was pretty exclusive, and then Lima might have corrected me on something. I might be stuck in the past. My simple Midwestern roots might be coming out. 8:20, also with Didi coming up at 8. So I want to get to these tweets here in a second, then we get to the calls. Tron Madden says, Nick Saban spent his whole life making Alabama's scholarship the most valuable thing in college football with future earning potential, and now people can outbid it with cash up front. I understand why he's upset. I get why he's upset. It's just no one's going to cry. And I don't think that Tron is saying that, but I don't think anybody's going to cry a river of tears. He might be a correct bitter old man, but he still comes off as a bitter old man. Am I wrong? And again, when it comes to college football, what Jimbo Fisher is saying, how do I put this? Jimbo Fisher saying everything he's doing is above board. Whereas I know for a fact, and I told you this story, I talked to an Alabama player in a different setting a long time ago. And I basically, as a gag, got him roped into telling me about an impermissible benefit. I can't really go that much further into it. It was a funny moment between him and I, but like he caught himself and then we laughed because it's Alabama. They don't just get people. It's not just because it's a good engineering school. It's Alabama, and they're going to try to do what they can to win. And before, I think Nick Saban was comfortable with that going, there's a plausible deniability to this, just like with a lot of other big-time college coaches in both men's basketball, women's basketball, and in also in college football. Jim in Strongsville says you can only have a salary cap one of two ways. Congress gives them an antitrust exemption, or it's collectively bargained. Neither are going to happen, so stop saying it. I'm not the one saying it. Lane Kiffin's the one saying it. Other coaches are the ones saying it. They believe there could be some sort of an ordeal there. And where you have, remember Northwestern football players tried to do it.
They tried to unionize?
They tried to unionize. Can you do something like that? Can you say we're going to unionize this? This is going to be a labor. This is going to be something that's labor. College football is labor. And if you pay us, since it's a money-making industry, if you pay us X amount, that means that every player gets something instead of just a few players getting a lot. Because I'm sure not every player at Alabama is getting NIL. Well, maybe, who knows? Maybe. Maybe not every player at Texas A&M is getting NIL. Maybe they are, maybe they aren't. But you have a tremendous opportunity, but you also have a cap there.
No,
I don't know.
I just wonder, when we ask, is it sustainable? Can this continue? I guess my question is, obviously, there's only going to be so many schools that are really going to be able to do the NIL thing and do it the way that Texas A&M is doing it. There's just only so many boosters that care enough, and it won't make sense. Like we thought right away, oh, Wild Wild West, all these schools are going to have money. Is Akron going to have some boosters? And the reality is a bunch of boosters are like probably thinking, why would I pay to get one wide receiver at Akron? What's the point of that? There's going to be no value in that. They're not going to win. They're going to win enough compared to the Big Ten schools who might have the money to do this. Maybe Penn State has it, Ohio State has it, Michigan has it.
Real quick, long ago, you and I have always talked about that. I think a school like Akron or Kent State, if you want to talk about booster money, I think you need to pour it into the basketball program, not football. You get hell more return on investment in your college basketball program than your football program.
You're right. There wouldn't be the return for football. So there's only going to be so many schools that are going to prevail. They're all going to be in Texas. They're going to be on the West Coast with tech money. If those tech people want to get into this world, then they can make UCLA. They can do all that because they have the money. Alabama actually does not have the money to try. They have the prestige, and right now they have Nick Saban. He's not going to be there forever. But they don't have what even Ohio State has. And Ohio State has a robust NIL program that is just getting launched for football. And you mentioned the billionaires that do care about Ohio State football. There's only so much of that to go around. I don't know. Does Dan Gilbert care enough to make Michigan State a player? He has the money. Mm-hmm. Does he care enough? Does he really want to dip his toes into that pool?
Did he? This is purely speculative. Did he cover some of the Mel Tucker?
They have a few.
Salary?
No, may not have been him, but they do have a few that do
That's
care
a
enough.
Huge amount of money.
But
for Mel Tucker.
They decided to spend their money with the coach, not necessarily the player.
Well, eventually
the players.
But the thing I think of is that if I'm a high school recruit and I see that college coach is making $90 million, where's mine? So if you're willing to spend $90 million on the coach, I just think you're eventually going to have to spend on the player. Am I wrong? I don't think I am. Let me get to Chris in Pennsylvania. You're first up on the fan. Hello.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Hi, Chris. Go ahead.
Excuse me. So I'm actually a college athlete myself at the moment, and this is not going towards anything what you're saying about the salary cap, or I have no problems with that necessarily, but this is just from my perspective, going off of what you or Lima, I can't remember who said it a few minutes ago, about forcing student athletes who wish to transfer to sit out for a year. Now, I don't think that's fair to the student athlete, just simply because the coaches and the school in general can go out and recruit these graduate students to go take your spot. And us as athletes, we only have 4 years, of eligibility. it really does us a disservice when coaches are allowed to, you know, recruit these graduate students to take our spots, and we just have to sit there and take it. Like, you know, you could be going into your senior year expecting, hey, you know, I might get some good playing time this year. Then all of a sudden, oh, Johnny from Ohio State just came in. Like, you know, closing the transfer portal and not allowing us to go play where we're, you know, guaranteed playing time, or at least, you know, going to have a chance to actually play, I just think it does a disservice to the student athletes.
What if it were to the thought, and that was Kelvin Sampson's thought, and Chris, you make several good points, and thank you very much for the call. It was Kelvin Sampson who brought up to have a one-year holdout instead of just immediately being able to transfer, because – I mean, 1,400 players, and 31% of the 1,400, this is from Sports Illustrated and Vicini, who bring up, or Vanini, I beg your pardon, who have 31% of this of the 13, or excuse me, almost 1,400 transfers not finding another school.
Yeah, so think about the before the rigid transfer rules, which I thought were too rigid at the time.
Clearly.
But those rigid rules saved so many players from themselves. They made players stick it out. And yes, coaches could go whenever they wanted, but that was the deal. That was the deal. And it was always obviously going to be slanted towards the coaches. Life's not fair. I keep coming back to this. We're trying to make everything fair, but did we inadvertently hurt players big time by telling them, hey, grass is going to be greener, so you can do whatever you want? Okay, I only got, let's go with college basketball, because that's the one that is just unbelievable. How many guys are in the transfer portal right now? Hey, I was at Ohio State. I only got 8 minutes a game. I'm a freshman. I'm going to go somewhere else. And then you go somewhere else. Oh, crap. I only got 15 minutes a game. And now they got incoming guys that are probably better than me or more stars. They're going to get the playing time. I'm going to transfer again. Oh, now I can't find a scholarship for next year. Like, that wouldn't have happened 10 years ago, because you would have just stayed at Ohio State. And then you would have stuck it out, got your degree, you would have had your senior day. You probably weren't going to play professionally. It wasn't in the cards. Probably not even going to play in Europe. But you got your degree, you stuck it out, you made all these connections at Ohio State. You're going to get a medical device job right out of college, leaning on the boosters that helped you. And you're always going to have those fond memories of your 4 or 5 years at Ohio State. Yeah, basketball didn't work out, but you have your degree, and you're going to be making $200,000 a year. Okay, is that a bad deal? Or would you rather have it be, yeah, I played at three schools, no one remembers me, I had an irrelevant career, and I don't even really have a degree, nobody cares about my senior day? Like, I don't know, maybe limiting some of the transfers actually worked out for a lot of these kids.
Well, how many of those kids know that, though? How many of those kids are told
that
before they go through with the transfer portal?
No, the coaches are going
to tell them. I'm trying to get the player.
The coaches are going to beg you to come play for them, and then either the coach leaves again after another great NCAA tournament run, or he recruits kids that are better than you, and sorry, I'm not your dad. I'm not supposed to make everything just awesome for you.
Because NIL now, it's a business. So we're not treating the kids like kids anymore. If you don't want to play here, okay, bye-bye.
Well, they were never kids. They were always over 18. Like, we always called them college kids. They're not kids. They are technically adults. I don't know, we always looked at them as kids, and well, they're all babes in the woods. No, they're adults too. And your freedom of choice as an adult is also freedom to be an idiot or freedom to make a terrible mistake. You can do any one of those things. And what Lima's saying, I think, does make a lot of sense, because there will be a lot of cautionary tales. Now, I don't want to get overblown with cautionary tales, but I think it would be a little bit frustrating. And I've known some coaches personally, and I'm not going to speak for you, but I've known you, who've had to talk some kids already into staying in big D1 programs, in the Big Ten, going, hey, stay here. I know you think that the grass is greener. Just give it another year before you freak out, because it's not guaranteed. We've already heard the conversation about, well, you know, if you end up going to Miami of Ohio, we'll still keep an eye on you there, and then maybe we'll be able to bring you in coming up here in a couple of years. You don't think that assistant coach for Penn State or for Pitt or for anywhere else is saying the same thing to 15 other kids over the next week? Of course he's saying it. So you also have to be able to find out what's real and what's not, who you can trust and who you can't. And right now, the only thing I can say is we're going to have to wait another 5 years before this thing starts to shake out and we start to put some names with some of these sentences in here and go, Coach X ain't a guy you can trust. Coach Y is not a guy you can trust. This is a guy that you can trust. This is a system that we can trust. Because there is a fear that, hey, we're kind of leading down a lot of young people, young adults, not kids, down a wrong path. Which then people can always go, hey, I don't care. As long as I see my game at 3:30 on CBS on a Saturday afternoon, to hell with them. Okay, that's perfectly fine. That is your call if you want to do that. We can treat college football the same way a lot of us just treat the NFL. We're frankly, let's be honest, we found this out over the last 5 years at least. Nobody wants to hear about anybody's personal life. Just get out there and play. And if you don't want to play, I don't want to hear about it. I mean, that's the way they act. Is that not the way the fans treat professional sports more and more every single day? So we'll just do the same thing with college football. And all the personalized stories, and we won't care. Chad and Hudson, you're next up on the Fan. Hello.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I was a D1 baseball player, got drafted, played in the minors for about 6 years. I'm kind of sick of all of this, not from your guys' perspective, but from the athlete perspective, is that what about perseverance? What about fighting through? What about working extra? More now than ever is that instant gratification. How many Hall of Fame players do we know that did not walk onto a college campus, get the playing time they want as a freshman, but had to work for it, had to persevere, had to struggle, drive through things? That perseverance is part of what made them as successful as they were. And it just seems like there's too many things that people want handed to them. They don't want to work for it. They don't want to fight for it. And you see it, not to get stupid about it, but you see it in marriages. You see it in jobs.
Well, I don't want to see Chad, my problem is I don't want to say that every person transferring for what they believe is greener pastures, I don't want to say that they don't have the guts to stick it out or anything like that, because I put myself in that situation for a second. Say I'm 19 years old. And I'm a freshman at Penn State, right? And I just see this land rush of money going out there, and I'm not playing at Penn State. Why am I not playing at Penn State? Meanwhile, I'm getting calls. People are blowing up my phone. They're texting me. Are there dead periods anymore, Anthony? I don't even know if there's dead periods. I got coaches texting me going, hey, I got a guy on the line right here. How's $5,000 sound? I mean, how do you turn that down? That's hard to turn down. Like, it's not just – I want to get rid of this coach and get out of here, but it's like people are trying to get you.
I totally get it. My parents had nothing growing up. Me getting that playing in college was the only way I was going to get my education, which kind of leads to what you guys talked about a minute ago, is that I think they're looking at, again, instant gratification for things instead of the 30,000-foot view that this is helping pave my future. It may not necessarily, what are the percentages that we all know, the low numbers and percentages that actually make it to the bigs and have a successful financial career as well as athletic career? It's unrealistic expectations in some sense.
But there's also, and Chad, thank you very much for the call, there's also a fight back to that too, because you could go, hey, you could get hurt and you could never play in the NFL if you get hurt. You need to protect yourself now. I got a guy who's willing to offer you 50, 60, 100 grand, 200 grand, 750 grand, whatever the hell it is. I have a person who's willing to offer you cash money right now. Take it, take it, take it. They're being told that. And if I keep saying, well, you never know if you're going to be able to play in the NFL. Well, this is money right now that I could use. Like, it's the same thing what I brought up just a second ago about them calling them. The pony is in the biggest snit I think I've ever seen him over there in Pittsburgh. Because of that kid, Jordan Addison, who ended up going to USC.
How much Jeff Thomas had in the update? How much money?
$3 million? They rumor $3 million, yeah. But it's always the thing. You never really know. His whole thing is, and I roll my eyes, his whole thing is, well, it's unfair. He wasn't in the transfer portal yet. USC was already reaching out to Jordan Addison even before he was in the transfer portal. And I'm thinking, who cares?
That's the way it's going to go.
This is how it goes in real life every day. Anytime, like,
what are you
going to
call the NCAA? Like, good
so
luck.
This is what Mike Florio wanted for the NFL, essentially, with the free agency stuff and the not having a draft thing where kids can just
they get to pick where they want to go. Yeah.
There will be a day where any of us will be replaced, and they will have our replacement in mind. It's the same thing that USC's doing with Jordan Addison at Pitt. It sucks for Pitt. Pitt actually has turned out some really nice athletes here over the last 60, 70 years. But that's the business of college football now.
Kevin Schumann on Twitter. Twitter reactions brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store, says if the athlete wants the freedom of mobility, they also assume the risks involved. It's not the school's job to protect them against that risk. Without a doubt, I mean, that they are old enough to make those decisions, although compare your decisions you made at age 18 and 19 and compare them to what you make at 35 and what you make at 40.
Completely different.
So these kids are going to make bad decisions. Is it our jobs to protect them? I think we could do a little more education, because right now, are the kids getting any education on this? Or do they have intermediaries or the bag men, or do they have the schools reaching out to them? I don't know. Kevin, I get what you're saying, but is there something we can do to help make sure there's not 3,000 kids stuck in a portal where they all made terrible decisions? Is there something we can do to help make... Because we have all sorts of laws and things on the books in society to help people make better decisions. In the end, yes, it's up to you. If you want to make a bad decision, you're going to make a bad decision.
Aditi at 8, Friday 5, next on The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Oh, it's time for the Friday Five. Oh, I thought we were shaking our keys.
Oh, no, I was showing you
something. Well, usually one thing leads to the other,
that's
so there
true.
You go.
Well, that's true.
That's the Friday Night Five.
Can you do that in Bay Village? Can we do a remove your clothes in Bay Village? Or
there've been rumors.
Okay,
there has to be a West Side outpost, right?
Ooh, this is a good one here. Friday Five, number one. Which NFL career would you rather have? This is courtesy of the NFL Network. We ripped it right off. Aaron Rodgers or Big Ben? Go.
Yeah, we had this as a topic like a week ago, and we never got to it because, you know, Josina Anderson starts tweeting, and you know what happens.
Oh, yeah, I wanted to bring that up. I anyway. Woke up this morning, and, you know, I am a subscriber to the Pick 6 podcast, and it said, what if Deshaun Watson be suspended for 2 years? And I went, Marcus played, not even going
to listen. Not going to listen to that one.
Nope, not going to do that.
And you guys say we are the ones that are getting everybody in a panic. Anyway, I thought about this all week, and then I flipped a coin. I'd go with Aaron Rodgers and his career. Even though Aaron doesn't have the Super Bowls to back up how much better I think he is than Big Ben, I just think I'd take Aaron Rodgers. I know Big Ben has the second Super Bowl. He had the better defenses.
Are you answering as a fan as your quarterback or as you being the player?
Yeah, as the player.
Okay. Do we have to mix in personal life and or because you're
– well,
we're
personal
saying career,
life, I think it's pretty clear.
Aaron Rodgers.
No, I'm posing for the sake of this question. I'm posing as Aaron Rodgers, and I'll be on the Pat McAfee show later today. And boy, do I have some things to say about Dr. Fauci.
Ooh. Full hour ahead of you.
Safety off. Are we talking life or are we talking career? Like football?
It's which NFL career would you rather have? If you got to pick,
well, you don't have Aaron a brother Rodgers. Anyway, so that won't be a problem.
Two Super Bowls are better than one, and Ben Roethlisberger's already made. He's had to have made 200, 300 million in his career anyway. So I guess it would be Big Ben.
So just because of the Super Bowl thing, that's so interesting.
Two Super Bowls are better than one Super Bowl.
You know,
you're both Hall of Famers. Like Aaron Rodgers is known to be the better quarterback, and I'm the guy who sits here and tells everybody I'm actually disappointed in Ben Roethlisberger's career. You hear legendary Bo Jackson-esque stories out of Finley of how athletic he is. If he put in the work that Tom Brady did, Tom Brady would have about four Super Bowls, and Ben Roethlisberger would have four Super Bowls.
That's always interesting when you bring that up. And Big Ben at times was actually really entertaining. Obviously, wore the wrong colors.
Yeah.
He was entertaining to watch the way that guys couldn't bring him down and would just make up stuff. Never seemed like he was in actual offense. I want to get back at some point, or just write it down, because if it's just about Super Bowls, I mean, I did hear Joe Thomas say on some, what was it, Lakewood Cable Access show, he said that a Super Bowl for the Browns would have meant more than the Hall of Fame. And I just think he's lying.
Safety off. You don't need to just start unloading the clip.
I think Joe Thomas
only have, we have a limited amount
Joe
of
Thomas,
ammo.
You are a liar and you're a panderer. And I'm going to text you right now that I said some really nice things about you on the radio.
A liar and a panderer. Oh, boy. Fox Sports reportedly named Greg Olsen for the top spot along Kevin Burkhardt for Fox's number one NFL booth, which will include the upcoming Super Bowl. However, for Olsen, this role is only temporary, as he'll be replaced by Tom Brady once his playing career is over. Should Greg Olsen accept this role, knowing he'll most likely be demoted down the road? I say yes. Just a chance to make more money down the road. Do it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, absolutely.
Yep.
I agree.
You can show off. Everybody's going to like you. People like Greg Olsen. I haven't given up on.
It'd be great if Olsen started.
Drew Brees, by
yeah,
the way.
Yeah, it would be great if Olsen started taking shots at Tom Brady every week.
That'd be great.
Nice
like he's
little
just keeping the chair warm.
Nice
for
little
him.
Running storyline.
Dallas and Golden State, they play Game 2 of the Western Conference Finals tonight at 9. With the Warriors holding a 1-0 lead, if the Warriors make it back to the NBA Finals, are you automatically rooting for the Eastern Conference team? Don't tag me in the thread with Joe. I'm
what?
Not a part of this. No, you text
what?
Joe
I just texted him
on
said,
your own.
Said,
I'm not doing that.
The guys in the morning are saying some nice things about you on the radio. Not necessarily. I still don't know if I can root for Boston. I still have a weird Boston thing. I don't know if it's the Pedro Martinez. I don't know if it's just the while we were playing them, they were just that I know Boston fans. I really don't know any Warriors fans. See, this goes back to your Pittsburgh Steeler thing, Ken, all the time about rivalries and how when I say, is it that big of a rivalry when it's been one-sided the whole time? Mm. And you're like, no, I know Steeler fans. Well, in this case, you might be right because I know Boston fans. I went to school with them in Syracuse. I can't stand them. And so I don't know that I can ever root for a Boston team.
Rivalries are very personal. I will.
And
you
if
know
Steph,
what you have to say.
And furthermore, if Steph Curry wins another championship, can I even say as his career, if he continues to get more achievements, doesn't it still make 2016 even better?
What? Golden State fans don't affect me as much as Boston fans. I'm going to say Golden State. I'm going to say Golden
Almost
State.
Almost did a spit take.
For the guy who has hated Steph Curry longer than anyone else has hated Steph Curry.
A stunner.
You got to remember, I have to respect somebody to hate them. That's the difference. After round one of the PGA.
You must really respect me.
Well, hate is a strong emotion. So I have to respect you to hate you because if I didn't hate you or if I didn't pay attention to you, I wouldn't hate you. After round one of the PGA Championship, Tiger Woods described how the pain in his right leg impacted his swing. Tiger, he's currently at +4. Even if Tiger makes the cut, will he finish the weekend? Yeah, what the hell? He takes lots of ice baths. He'll be fine.
Yeah, okay.
And $20,000 bathtubs. Those things are like $22,000.
I know.
I got a promo code. Don't worry. I can save you 10%.
Anything that where they're going, we'll give you $6,000 off. You know it is a lot. I mean, cars and houses are one thing, but the other things, like, holy cow. What do you got? You say yes or no?
Yeah.
You even paid attention
over
there.
Not to that one. I want to go to the next one.
Go ahead.
The video circulating of people base jumping off of the Lumen Building near Playhouse Square, the new addition to a Cleveland skyline over the last few years. Would you ever base jump? What extreme sport would you like to try? Listen, I'm somebody who doesn't even know how to swim and can barely snorkel. So if you think I'm doing any of this, I am not a daredevil. I can't even imagine. I think me souping up the golf cart and putting it in neutral down the hill on number 11 at Berkshire Hills, that's the most daredevil thing I've ever done in my life. I flipped that damn cart. I also flipped it coming down number 9. And now you get arrested if you even try to go back and revisit some of your great memories.
Like when you do things like this, you got to think about what people like us are going to say about you if you die. Like, put your obituary to the lowest common denominator. How'd he die? I thought he could tempt fate, and he jumped off the Lumen building, and he thought his parachute was packed, and that was it. Like, what? That's how it happened? That's how it happened. Of all the ways you go, like, you think about the obituaries, like, Anthony was in a terrible accident. What happened? Well, you know, it's like an old Garth Brooks song. He was on his way home. It was a stormy night. He lost control, and that was it. Ah, man, cut down in his prime, left a pregnant fiance behind. That's a shame. How did Anthony die? Well, he left his pregnant fiance behind by jumping off a tall building, and he didn't pack his parachute right. He put himself before his future wife and kid.
Well, when you put it that way, well, he was trying to get famous on TikTok because his career wasn't going where he thought it would go.
Why did he do it? Was he going to get millions of dollars? No, he was going to get a bunch of likes on social media from strangers who are laying in bed at 9:30 at night because they don't even want to talk to their wife, so they're just flipping through their phone, secretly going through the Tinder, but nobody wants to talk about that. And then when she looks over, they quickly go over to TikTok, and there was Anthony doing his base jump, and that's what he was there for. So trite. The opposite of trite, up next, Aditi Kinkabwala. We talk football with her on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.